You're listening to Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. It may be old news here in Hollywood, but the world's scientists are now warning us about killer robots. Hundreds of scientists, including Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk, wrote an open letter released this week in which they warned of a global AI arms race. And the letter recommends, quote, a ban on offensive autonomous weapons beyond meaningful human control. One of the signatories to that letter is Peter Asaro. He's assistant professor at the New School in New York and vice chair of the International Committee for Robot Arms Control. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I have to say, reading about this letter was really scary. It says that the possibility of robots capable of killing on their own is feasible within years, not decades. What does that mean?
Well, I think what that means is we already have the technology to attach sensors to weapons, guns, missiles, and have those computers automatically determine when to fire those weapons. And you could do that now in a very primitive way. But what we're really seeing is a massive investment by major military and arms contractors to develop the next generation of weapons that will do this in a very sophisticated way. And this includes a fully autonomous drone aircraft that wouldn't be remotely piloted or have humans doing the targeting, but would be able to do targeting and firing decisions completely autonomously based on visual processing algorithms and artificial intelligence software.
So how would they know exactly when to attack?
Well, there would be various ways to try to build that. And of course, one of the big problems with this technology is that all of this development would be highly top secret and classified. And so we wouldn't really be able to understand from the outside or as civilians how these systems work or what basis they're using to make targeting decisions. But you could do something, along the Hollywood lines of the Terminator, of trying to identify a particular individual like Sarah Connor based on a photograph and visual recognition. You could do something more in terms of patterns of behavior. So if somebody was acting aggressively or appeared to be pointing a weapon at you or at the robot, then the robot could react to that. And those are, very complicated kinds of algorithms, which, right now would not work with any kind of accuracy or would be very dangerous to try to deploy. But this kind of technology, of course, is developing very rapidly, and it's not clear at what point these systems will be attempted to be used by different militaries.
But it sounds like from the tone of the letter that this is not in the realm of science fiction or in the realm of some, fantasy many, many years away, that this could happen relatively quickly in a bad way and not just be something theoretical.
Yeah, I mean, these systems are in development. The X-47B is a Navy autonomous drone that the U.S. is developing. The Taranis is a British autonomous drone. And, their websites and videos say they have some capacity to, engage targets independently of human control. We don't know exactly what that means. There's also a missile system that the UK is using called Brimstone, and another one that the US is developing called the LARASM, long-range anti-ship missile, which again have some kind of autonomous targeting function that uses an artificial intelligence, the details of which are obscure.
Why are these powers developing these weapons? What do they want to use them for?
Well, I think there's a motivation to try to protect your own troops, keeping them out of harm's way. And, of course, the increased efficiency of automation. I think that's what drives automation, and artificial intelligence is a form of automation. Trying to reduce the costs and the number of personnel you need to train in order to deploy the military. Of course, in the long run, that also means you have fewer humans involved in war, involved in making decisions, and less of a, civil engagement with the kinds of wars that the nation engages in.
Well, I guess people could argue that that's what's happening with drones now, and that even being used by humans, there are grievous mistakes.
Right, and many of those we hear about because there are humans there. There are humans who suffer the post-traumatic stress of what it is to be an operator in those situations. And while that's a bad situation for those operators, if we fully automated that, it doesn't mean those situations would disappear. It just means it would be computers doing it, and we would never hear about it in the press or in the public forum.
And so is there any kind of international discussion happening aside from your open letter about limiting this kind of weaponry?
Yeah, there's been a campaign to stop killer robots. That's a coalition of non-governmental organizations that's been working for the past few years at the United Nations level to get international discussions moving. The Convention on Certain Conventional Weapons, which is a treaty body of the United Nations, has been holding expert meetings for the past 2 years on these sorts of weapons and what should be done. And at this level, it's still, consultory and advisory, but we're hoping at the upcoming meeting of the CCW in November that they actually vote to move towards a more formal process that could lead towards a treaty negotiation.
And which countries are developing these weapons?
The ones that we know about, of course, are the advanced militaries, the United States, Russia, China, Israel, South Africa, Australia, Korea, South Korea. These countries have the technical means and have already sort of announced that they're developing different kinds of weapons in this arena. Other countries could be doing it as well. And if it follows the pattern of drones, which seems very likely, it went from a handful or one country that had the technology to 70 countries with the technology in just a handful of years.
So Stephen Hawking, in his part of it, or he has said this in the past, that this really could be humanity's last act, that this is humanity's biggest existential threat. Would you go that far?
I think nuclear weapons and climate change might rival it for sure, but I think it is a very serious risk. I think it's a risk to civilians who might get caught in the crossfire. I think it's a risk to humanity in the sense that we give over control over the use of violence and the control of warfare itself to automated processes that we may not understand or be able to fully control.
But given the fact that you say all these countries are working on it, half a dozen or more countries and countries with a lot of money, are you optimistic you can dial it back and get a ban on these weapons?
I think so. And I think the key is to really have it be this preemptive ban before any of these countries are really dependent on these systems for their military forces to ban them and to get a comprehensive ban that covers all of these countries. So if any one country develops the technology, then other countries will feel the need to defend themselves by developing similar technologies. And you very quickly wind up in an arms race situation, and that could be regional or global in nature. So I think it is possible. And I think, we've seen this with other weapons in the past, especially with chemical weapons and biological weapons, where there were some people who were optimistic that it could be, a new and more humane form of warfare. And when it didn't turn out that way, they had to do a lot of work to roll back and create a prohibition on that. With blinding lasers, we were actually successful in getting a preemptive ban. It was clear that the technology was imminent and it was going to be used, and the CCW in the 1990s was able to create a preemptive ban that was quite successful. And, the technology to make blinding lasers is available, but we don't see any major military contractors or arms manufacturers building and designing permanently blinding lasers.
But is there also a worry that if you do enact a ban on this, or if that ban is successful, that there might be some hampering effect on legitimate AI research?
Well, I think that's precisely why this letter is coming from the scientists and engineers at this point, because they see that the potential benefits of AI technology and robotics is enormous, and they want to continue doing that research. But they also recognize that those technologies can be put to very bad uses. And absent any kind of international regulatory framework, like a treaty that would prohibit these weapons, there's no assurances that the technology won't be used that way. And I think what they're calling for is those assurances that it won't be used that way, so they can actually proceed with developing the technology in ways that could benefit humanity greatly.
And what about this technology falling into the wrong hands, like an AQ Khan?
Yeah, well, I think, if we allow the military development of this technology, then the proliferation will be incredibly rapid, the way it was with drones. It's not like atomic weapons where you really need a massive industrial base and a lot of rare materials and sophisticated technology to create a nuclear bomb. With autonomous weapons, you can buy many of the components off the shelf right now from a hobby store and put together a very crude system. Once these sophisticated military systems are available in the world market, you're going to see a rapid proliferation to many states, to tyrants and dictators who want to oppress their own people, and of course to non-state actors and terrorists.
Okay, so I'm now sharing your urgency. It sounds very serious. Peter Osaro, assistant professor at the New School in New York and vice chair of the International Committee for Robot Arms Control. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.